there we go.
Okay.
We just went home.
Today, on Sunday, I get, can I go to church? Can I go to church? Oh, no, I can't go. I can't go. Finally, I'm here, and maybe every Sunday I could come.
Mm-hmm. You know what? We take what we can get.
Yes, yes.
Just one day at a time. But being a church, like I said, it's a blessing that you're here with us today.
Yes.
And we thank God for you. So we up and running.
Yeah, we up and running finally.
God bless you for being here today. You know, thank you. God has been, see, God, you're able. Minister Cliff.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Glad to have you.
I'm going to be here. This mess.
You know what? I didn't bring the collection plate, but guarantee you, whatever you give to me, that's when I go and drop all our stuff off at storage. I'll make sure that our pastor gets it. Well, you go ahead. Take your time. Go ahead, Mr. Okay. Cliff.
Well, welcome once again to Kingdom Keys Bible Fellowship here in Dublin. And we're thankful for all of you being here.
Yes.
And I know prayer has already been lifted up, but at this time, I just think since the word is getting ready to be preached, I want to ask God's presence to come in.
Yes, sir.
Heavenly Father, I humbly come before you, Lord God, as God, as a servant of yours, Lord God, as a humble vessel, Lord God, that needs to be empty, Lord God, that you can pour into me, Lord God, your message through your spirit, Lord God, that will speak to people here, Lord God, that need to be filled with the word, Lord God, that refreshing anointing, Lord God, that spirit, Lord God, that heavenly food, Lord God, that special water, Lord God, that quenches that thirst that only your spirit can fill, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord God, in this message, Lord God, do what it's intended to do for me and for all of us here, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Giving honor to our pastor and his absence. And giving honor to God and to our pastor in his absence, to all of you who are here. I'm very thankful for another opportunity to speak on behalf of God and share with you what God has placed on my heart. And the question I want to ask this morning before my message gets started is, what is the message of the Bible? If someone was to come ask you, or if you went to someone and wanted to share the message of the Bible, what would be your answer? And I was compelled to do this on my job this week because I myself kind of wondered, Do we really know as Christians what the message of the Bible is? And what is it that, what is it that others who, that are not believers or have another faith, what do they believe the message of the Bible is? And sure enough, there's others who have, and I said, well, if you don't believe in the Bible, I'm pretty sure you, if you're religious, you have some understanding of what your book, whatever it is. And one was a Indian guy. He said, I forget what faith he said he was, but yeah, he had his book, and he started saying, maybe one of the things you look at the message of the Bible, message of any religious book, is about being righteous. I mean, I'll think of, when you think of the Bible, it's about being righteous. That's what the message of the main, one of the messages of the Bible is. It's about being righteous. Because, you know, we think that we should be treating one another fairly in a certain way, and that's about being righteous. Then another thing was, you know, another thought about the Bible is, it's a book about being holy. About how do we conduct ourselves in a way that matches the character of God. How do we present ourselves in such a way that we don't have sin? We get rid of the sin that is troubling us in the world today. Well, you know, a lot of people sum the whole message of the Bible, it's just by doing good, being a good person. Certainly, I don't know how many of y'all think of the Bible that way, but I know a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm trying to be a good person. No, that's what the Bible teaches about, just being a good person. Ain't that what the Bible teaches? I just want to be a good person. I end up in heaven. Another thought about, well, if I just be a merciful into person, then I've got the message of the Bible down, being merciful. I want to be merciful. And what about being generous? How many people now see Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and all these people? They got billions of dollars now they're giving away. Because I think somebody think that's the whole message or the importance of life is about being generous. And we do too, don't how many of y'all like think you're a generous person? That's one of the main callings or things about the Bible, being generous. And so, yeah, being generous, that's important message of the Bible. And certainly we can know the aspect of faith. The Bible speaks and focuses a lot about faith. Faith in God. That's a message that the Bible presents. And lastly, the whole idea about the Bible, which would be about knowing God. You know, that we know that first of all, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And all throughout, it's this narrative that there's a God. And yes, that's one of the messages of the Bible. But I want to pose a question that many of you still might not have think the Bible presents. What is the message of the Bible? What is that message that we all should be able to agree upon? What is it that the message of the Bible is trying to motivate us to do? What is it that the Bible is trying to get across to us? What is it? Mercy, grace, faith, goodness, righteousness? These things are all good. In fact, the Bible lists those in Galatians. Remember, it lists some of the things the Spirit wants us to do, you know, when you get filled with the Spirit. These are all things. But what's the number one thing you think the Bible is trying to get across? What is the number one thing that God is trying to tell us the message about the Bible is? What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked that. For me, the Bible is different than other religious books. Because a lot of those other religious books will talk about God. They talk about doing good work. They talk about a lot of the same things that we talk about it from the Bible. In fact, I talked to some of the people, oh yeah, we talk about good works and being faithful and being a good family person and so on and so forth. Well, now you're reading religious books. So what about theological books? How many of y'all study theology? What do you think theology is about? Theology is about studying about God. Simply about all you need to know is about God. Theology is about getting to know God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, God is everywhere. That's what theology is. It makes us understand who God, what our God should be in this broad context. And actually, when you look at theology, it could be covered not just the God we believe of, but any God. But theology is simply study about God. And There's been a movement, always has been, but even a greater movement about self-enlightenment. Y'all heard about self-enlightenment? We can go and just think your way. I mean, there's this special illumination. You can go through these special classes. And they, through this self-examination, you can find out and understand that you should treat other people right. You should be generous. You should be outgiving. Those self-enlightenment, there's a lot of people teach about self-enlightenment, get to know yourself, because once you get to know yourself, then you'll be able to do better. So that's one of the things that some of these books teach. That's quite big today, self-enlightenment. There's a lot of great movement on being self-enlightened. Then lastly, one of the great ones is the Greeks and other people that believe philosophy can give you those same thoughts that we talked about the Bible giving you, about what the Bible's message is. Well, if this is true, what is it about the Bible that makes it so special? What is it that, given all these other things that I've talked about, it makes gets that Bible the cherry on the top, that gives the Bible that little bit extra, that it's more than just the Quran, it's more than the Old Testament, it's more than all these other religious books, there's more than philosophy, it's more than just self-enlightenment, it's more than just all these things we think the Bible gives us. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but how many know John 3:16? Does anybody know what John 3:16 says? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It's got God in it, doesn't it? It starts off with God. So loved the world. The second after we get past God, it's about God's love. God's love, and it says, then he gave his own. It's about giving, it's about sacrificing, it's about all the things we think we know. His only begotten Son. Then it comes around with faith. Said, whosoever believes in him should not die. But see, again, it's about dealing with one of the issues we like that. What happens about dying? A lot of us are afraid of dying. But see, don't worry about dying, because we're all going to die. But when you die, the thing that God says, I'm giving you everlasting. To me, the message of the Bible is about love. I don't know about y'all, but that's, to me, the main message that sets the Bible apart. Many books talk about life after death. Many books talk about having faith. Many books talk about all these things. But God sends all up by saying, I love the world. And because I love the world, I got to do something about it. Because the world is messed up. God says, y'all are messed up. He doesn't lift that out. He recognizes all what we recognize. We some messed up people. We think that, oh, well, I'm messed up, but I can be a good person. That'll cancel out being messed up. I'm going to be a generous person. That cancel out all my mistakes. And God said, no. I'm doing what only I can do. I'm sending my Son to be a perfect sacrifice. And that perfect sacrifice will shed his blood. And because he shed his blood, I'm going to save you and give you eternal life. That's the message about love. Woo! And see, that's why I've always been so addicted to the Bible. I don't know about y'all, but that message of love resonated with me when I was a small child. When I was a small child, I heard the message of God loving me and loving me enough to die for me on the cross and saving me.
Say that.
I God resonated with me. I ain't got away from that message yet.
Say it.
See, because I know there's a lot of things the world will teach you. I don't know about y'all, but when you get older, and I got in my teens and in college, I was exposed to a lot of different philosophies, a lot of different religions, and a lot of different faiths and everything. And I went out there and I talked about it. I went and seen it. I checked it out. But thank God I had my basic foundation. Because when I examined all what they were saying, I even looked at the scientific aspects of what they were trying to tell me. I was a scientist. I went to study school and about everything. And after I weighed all that out, weighed it all out, I understood that message about love. Love, love, love. That God loved me. God loved me. I was convinced, and I still said, that to me is the greatest message, that God loved me. I looked at myself and I understood what a mess I was. I didn't like me. So if I didn't like me, how could anyone else like me?
Say that.
But the Bible says, no, God loves you. And as soon as I accepted that, didn't understand it, didn't make sense to me, but I just accepted it by faith. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came in and made that a reality.
Yes.
It took me and made me understand that you're right. There's nothing I can do that would make me worth anything. In fact, I wasn't worth anything. But God says, yes, sure. I made you. I loved you. I'm going to love you in spite of. Woo! Lord have mercy. And so this love that I got hold of suddenly started ruminating in me, and so to the point where, you know what? I started believing God really did like me. They really loved me. Especially when I started reading what he had done for me and all the things he was providing for me, how he provided for me, how he was going to take care of me, how in spite of the circumstances that come into my life, in spite of the Goliaths that come my way, inside of the fiery furnaces, in spite of all the stuff that Satan's throwing at me,
right,
I'm still loved. Ooh, I can go through it. And I've been through it ever since. And so, again, the message of the Bible being loved, God could declare, not only that, but Jesus wanted to make sure we got that. Not only 3:16, just Jesus letting know God love him. Jesus says, a new commandment from him is that not only do we love God, but then Jesus says, you know what? You got to learn to love your others as you love, as I love you. See, love becomes a key because he said, no, after you get to learning about God's love, See, the reason we spend so much time and learning and loving and learning about God's love, so now we fit to go and love somebody else.
All right, now.
We fit to go and love somebody else. God's, that's just a new commandment I give to you. A new commandment. He said, I ain't talking about faith. I ain't talking about being generous. I'm talking about learning to do the most basic thing that you can do in life, and that's the love.
Amen.
Love the same way I lived. I came to accept the example.
All right.
I came to show you that I've laid down my life for you.
All right.
I love you. You some messed up people. Don't you know Jesus even loved Judas enough to allow Jesus to come and get close to him?
Say that.
He loved Judas. In fact, he said, Judas, I know what you're going to do. And I can't do nothing. I can't stop you. I mean, he probably could have stopped, but that ain't the game plan. The game plan ain't to stop you. It's the game plan to let you do what you want to do.
That's right.
That's real love.
Say it.
That's real love. And see, one of the things about I come to understand about marriage and being a parent is that relationship has to be built on love. And see, what my first marriage, and I've been married before, is that I messed up because
I'm trying to control. I'm not where it's a husband. I'm supposed to be, I'm supposed to try to force her and make her do what she's supposed to do. And then God finally woke me and knocked me on the side of my head. I don't know. And finally woke up and said, you know what? Cliff, that ain't possible. You can't even make Cliff do what Cliff needs to. So how you gonna make somebody else do what they want to do? So I had to let that go. I let that go because it wasn't done out of love. I was doing that out of, I'm forcing you, I'm God, I'm Lord, I'm supposed to. No, that ain't real love. You love, don't force nobody. Woo! And then had to be a parent, had to learn the same thing with my children. I can't control them. My job is to train them up. And then let go, just like God does. God gives us free will. Woo, Lord have mercy, he loves us enough to give us free will. He said, you know what, I want you to love me. I'm giving you everything, but if you reject me, that's okay. Because I did what I'm supposed to love you. That's what the Bible is declaring. That's what the message of the Bible is. And see, that's why the world is so messed up now. At least in my opinion, because the church no longer talks about love. The church no longer talk about that kind of. We talk about everything else. We talk about more morality than about love. About what's right and what's wrong, what you can and cannot do. Let God handle that business.
That's right.
You know, I don't know about y'all, but when I look at the issue about morality and man and what would. I have to go back to the Old Testament. The reason I go back to the Old Testament because. I go back there because I go back and look at the children of Israel. They were put in bondage for 400 years to make them a people who had nothing. All they had was God. All they had was God. They were slaves. They had been broken. They didn't think they was worth nothing. And God goes and brings them out loud and says, y'all my people, I love y'all. And but we slave, Lord. No. You my people. I'm gonna show you that y'all are special, y'all. And so God makes them into the and to make sure that they will remain his people, he gave them some commandments. First had to do with loving him with all their heart, mind, body, and soul. He said, I'm a jealous God, I can only be number one. There's no other God but me. He's setting up the rules of this love relationship. He set it up. He said, then this is how you treat your wife. And this is how you treat others. He said, I'm setting up the rules. I'm setting it up. But the thing about it, he said, I'm setting it up. But it's your responsibility to follow. He left it up to them to follow. He said, I'm not making you follow. I'm saying these are the rules. You follow. And if you love me, you'll follow. If you don't, then that's on you. You have to suffer the consequences. That's love.
That's love.
That's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. And again, I'm to the point now, why are we so busy trying to force this person to say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do it ain't our job. Mm-hmm. God couldn't do it, so what makes us think we can do it? But what we can do, I tell you what we can do, is go out and preach love. Mm-hmm. Go out and preach love, first of all, that God loves you. Make you understand that because God loves you, you have value. We have value.
Yes. Yes.
And if we learned how to have value for ourselves, then, and only then am I convinced that we can see others having value. Because once we understand that God gives us value, that God gives us value, then we say, you know what? If I have value, then maybe I have worth. And if I have worth, maybe I can love myself. Maybe I can see there's something good and worthy of me doing. Ain't you ever seen a person that's been saved, the change that comes over their life? No, they don't even understand themselves.
That's right.
They don't. We don't don't understand because all I know is something wasn't like that old song. I went to meet one night and my heart wasn't right. And suddenly the Holy Ghost got a part of me and I just couldn't keep it to myself. I got changed. That the Spirit of God comes upon you and changes you. You get love in your heart.
Yes, sir.
And when you get love in your heart, then you look at people different.
Yes.
You start looking at them with cross-eyed. You start looking and you don't worry about whether or not they're going to do something because God's got you.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's got you, He allows you now to be able to love.
Yes.
And so I'm convinced, I don't know about you, but I'm convinced that the message of the Bible is nothing but love.
Nothing but.
Cause again, Jesus goes like, and they ask Jesus, Jesus, God gave us the commandments. And we're very religious people. We want to be right, correct, in how we go about living our lives and everything. So the lawyer, Jewish, a Pharisee, a Jewish lawyer asked him, said, well, Jesus, we understand God gave us the commandments and everything, and but we are not sure that they've gone 1 to 10. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus, without hesitation, says, you know what? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all that strength, with all that soul. Love God with everything. That's the mission. God said, love me with everything. I'm a jealous guy. I can't take seconds. I won't share you with anybody else. If you ain't give me everything, I don't want it.
That's how
he is. I don't want it. If I can't be number one, how many of y'all want to be second in marriage? You know, if you're second, if you're married, do you want to be second? I mean, your husband and wife saying, well, you know, I love you, but I got another mistress over here.
Yeah.
Or I got another man over here. That's basically what we're trying to tell God. We want you, but we want someone else.
Oh my God.
That's what God put it like that. He said, I don't want y'all to be sure y'all well, there's no other one but me.
Right.
And if I ain't good enough for you, then you don't want to be with me.
Mm.
And then Jesus says, you know what? Now we got that out of the way. The second is lacking to it. The second is just as important as the first. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what you say. You gotta learn to love your neighbor, but before you really learn to love your neighbor, what? You gotta learn to love yourself. And I call that healthy self-love. I mean, a lot of us look at, I can love myself. I ain't no problem. Look at me, I'm finna out there, I'm taking care of me. No. That's not the kind of love God. God's talking about healthy self-love. So that you now live in the standpoint that you can live where God wants you to and follow God's will.
Yeah.
That you're okay with not chasing the things of this world.
That's right.
The things of this world. Because God said, love not the world nor the things of the world. For all is the world, the lust of flesh does not profit. He said, that's what the world's after.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about loving. I'm talking about loving yourself. That you now see that you're worthy to be used by me.
Amen.
To go out and do what I want. That's when you can go and love others.
Yes, sir.
Because you're loving yourself.
Right.
That's right.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Say that, man.
And lastly, okay, that's the second commandment. And he says, you know, and again, we talked about all those things where people believe the message of the Bible is. And don't you believe that God understood we'd be there? That's what Paul wrote down 1 Corinthians 13. Go read it. I won't go through all of it, but 1 Corinthians 13 talked about those very things that we're talking about. Well, you know, what about me sacrificing my life? What if I give my life to be burned? And Paul said, if you give your life to be burned and it ain't about love, it profits you nothing. Me preaching and teaching and all these things. He said, if you're doing it ain't out of love, it ain't about nothing.
Right.
Everything that is not done. He said, what about I have faith so I can move on? He said, if it ain't done out of love, it pops you nothing. So if you go through and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and get down to the 13th verse, he sums it all up. He says, now abide faith, hope, and love. He said, these exist, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them three is love. Love, love, love. That's why I'm here to proclaim you that the message of the Bible, if you ever want to know, somebody asks you, what's the message of the Bible? I can tell you, it's love. It's love. It's God's love for us men. And then it's such an overwhelming way of sacrificial. And then you can talk about the gospel. Then you can talk about what that love did for you. Ooh, it does. And then the title of my sermon, I forgot to tell you, I know y'all thought it was about what the Bible, but the title of my sermon was, what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
What's love? You know, I remember years ago, it was Tina Turner read that song, What's Love Got to Do With It? Mm-hmm. And that song is stuck in my every, because when I think about that, I think of this very thing, this very topic. Love has everything to do with it. It's what, according to, love has everything to do about life. Don't you know, when you go back to the garden and look at Genesis 1, what we see? There's a God in a garden who's made this garden. He said, but it ain't complete. I gotta make a man. And I'm gonna give him responsibility. I'm gonna make him be caretaker. And not only that, but I'm gonna give him a helpmate. So it was God's planning in the beginning to make a perfect garden. And the apex of that perfect garden was us. And then when he had we had a relationship with him. You have a relationship with somebody you don't love. It's kind of hard, ain't it? It's somebody you don't love, or that it's hard to have. That ain't no love. You didn't have no love relationship with. And what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? That broke that love relationship. That broke that relationship. So they no longer have that perfect love relationship. But God said, "Don't worry. I got a plan." But see, so it's when you look at it, the act creation of man was God's act of love. Mm-hmm. Julie, when kids are born, what is it? Because of what? What are kids born out? It's creation of what? Most kids, a lot of kids, but Julie, kids are supposed to be created from what? Love. A man and woman loving each other, getting married, and bringing forth children. I know that that's kind of, in my own case, my kids were a creation love, but the man. But again, for most of us, and most times, children are created out of love. Should be. That was God's plan. He tells Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply. That's a part of the plan. Created out of love. We created out of love. Created us out of love. God created us to love. See, not only did God create us, he created us out of love. He created us to love. And he created us to be loved. Mm-hmm. See, one of the problems is we have this need to be loved.
Yes, we do.
How many of y'all, don't y'all agree we have a need to be loved? There's certain something in there. And you know what? A lot of times we get the heart caught before the heart. We trying to get love from that man on them, some woman song, instead of first off getting that love from God. See, God understands that. So that's when God says, love me with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said, start in the correct order. Love me. Get me in your heart. Get me right. And then that love you want, it'll be there. But it'll be there in the right way, in the right order. Because you know what? a lot of us have a tough time relationship because we don't love ourselves. And we want to go try to get somebody else to love us because we don't love ourselves. And we want them to love us. And when they don't love us the way we think we should love, that's necessary. That's when we're in a messed up relationship. It is.
Yeah.
It is. You should go wanting to get love. You should be wanting to go give love and receive love in return. But if you're going, all you're doing is going to get, then that's when God says, I don't want you coming just to get love from me. First of all, remember I told you, I want you. I've already proven that I love you.
Yes.
I've already proven. But next step is for you to love me with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Ooh, I gotta move on, but just getting to the end. Well, and see, then, to me, love defines the purpose of life. Mm. You know, God never would have created us to have that kind of purpose. He didn't create in us the capacity to love. See, that's the most important thing. And when I think now about AI and robots and everything, we're trying to reproduce things mechanically that can act and be like us. But one of the main things that I look at is we can't recreate nothing that can't love. God's only created something that can love. God created us with the purpose to love. And again, part of the story about love, it ends with our understanding of salvation and redemption. Mm-hmm. See, if you don't understand love, the story of salvation and redemption doesn't make sense to you. Because you got to get to the point where God saved me and redeeming, what's the motive? Or you know how we do, if something sounds too good to be true, we're going to look at it. But God said, I did that because I loved you. So, and love provides hope for eternal life. You know, because of our love, and God's love for us, we have hope for eternal life. Yeah. Don't y'all believe there's eternal life, there's hope? Because what? God's love for us. If it wasn't for God's love, I don't know about y'all, but I have trouble believing that just because I'm a good person or just because I accept you. No, it's God's love that guarantees it. God's love guarantees my salvation. God's love guarantees it. So what's love got to do with it? Everything. Life without love. And it first off starts with God's love. So when we go ahead and try to deal with life on life, in terms of life, you got to deal with that. And that's why I started realizing when I was dealing with some of my co-workers and the political atmosphere and some of the things of way people's lifestyles is. I even got a coworker who I've been getting close to now, and that coworker believes in same sex and all that, and I've been sort of warming up to the topic. And so finally, okay, my spirit moved in me. I'd love to talk to her about what thus said the word of God. And she took it. I mean, that person took it, and they didn't say nothing. Oh, yeah. I said, you know what the Bible said? Oh, no, I didn't know the Bible said. Okay. So again, the message of the Bible is love. It motivates us and will shape us to talk to others and move on others out of love. Just like God moved on us. What would we be if God didn't love us? What would we be if we